Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot!
And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in. We are with you on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. IU gets another win. The Hoosiers are 10-2, and believe it or not, they have one game left on their schedule, non-conference schedule, that is, to close out the 2018 portion of their calendar. And from January 3rd forward, it's all Big Ten. Going to be a lot of fun. Indiana with a nice victory tonight. Started off, what do you know, a little shaky. Central Arkansas with a lead early. They were scoring at ease, hitting down, knocking down some big shots early on. But Indiana bounced back to take control later in the first half and then go on to win fairly handily, 86-53. The final score. I tell you what, early on it really looked like IU might have another close one with a smaller, a mid-sized Division I opponent. 19 points for Central Arkansas within the first 7 minutes of the game. I'm sure a lot of IU fans a little on edge early. This is a game that, in both of these games, they're trap games in many ways. You're coming off of big wins to Louisville and Butler. You're looking ahead to the Illinois game to open at home the Big Ten Conference full slate. And these are games that IU needs to win. They need to win handily. They need to get off to an early start. They really need to get some rest, even though they do have a nice break between Saturday and January 3rd home game against Illinois. They need to get some rest for the starters and get some other guys minutes that might have to contribute if there is an injury. See Robert Fennessy. We'll talk about that here in a moment a little bit later down the road. Clifton Moore and Jake Forrester and some other, Demise Anderson, and the list goes on of guys that you'd like to see get some ticks here before the non-conference season comes to a close and conference season comes, because I got a feeling when January 3rd gets here, that game against Illinois followed by a tough one at Michigan a few days after that, the minutes are going to be very used sparingly on some of the bench and some of the subs. So now the time, if any exists this season, for Indiana to get some of the younger guys that still need some minutes, still need some on-the-court time to happen. So Jacksonville, the next opportunity for that. Nice halftime lead for Indiana, 43-27. Devontae Green, Romeo Langford both look really good in the second half. Indiana goes on to win 86-53 for their 10th victory of the season. We'll talk a lot about last night's game in the show today and a lot more. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I've got your Hoosier headlines for the day, your news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at the game last night. We'll take a look at some IU women's basketball as well. Grace Berger, a local prospect, a freshman for the IU women's team out of Louisville. She had a nice performance yesterday as the IU women continue to be off to a big start, and we'll recap the 2018 recruiting class for IU football. They signed 19 players during the early signing period yesterday on Wednesday. So we'll talk about all of that and more in segment one. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is my guest, as he is each Thursday. The segment with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. We will talk last night's game. We'll look ahead. I know it's hard to not do Jacksonville coming to town on Saturday, but it's really easy to get caught up in thinking ahead about the Big Ten schedule and specifically that game at Michigan. I think Illinois at home will be tough. I think every Big Ten conference game within reason is going to be tough. I think we've said that enough. But at Michigan, boy, that's an interesting game and a tough one for Indiana, I think, to get a read on where this team is at after some big non-conference wins and figuring some things out and trying to get fairly healthy, and still a little ways to go on that, especially with Rob Fennessy going down in the game last night. But that's going to be a real interesting game. I'm sure Alex and I We'll get into that as well. And then later it's the Southern Indiana Basketball Update, a weekly fast-paced review of high school basketball in Clark and Floyd counties. I'll take a look at the top performers over the last week or so of high school basketball. I'll have a player of the week. We'll take a look at the weekend schedule, some holiday tournaments going on. Big game with New Albany at Indianapolis Pike on Friday. We'll have that broadcast here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll give you our game of the week as well and much more. It's a way to get a lot of different kids' names on the air, tell you a lot of big performers so far this season. We'll have that to close the show later on this Thursday. That's the guest lineup, a service each day of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Headline one today is, let's go back last night and take a look at some of the key performers. Devontae Green, what a performance. He got more minutes than what he has been getting this season because of Rob Phinisee going out in the first half with a concussion protocol injury, we now know, after the game. He got more minutes. He had a solid performance. He didn't make any of the typical Devontae short-sighted mistakes that he's become accustomed to this season especially. Finished with 19 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. That's a heck of a stat line for Devontae Green, a big improvement from other games this season. 6 of 10 from the three-point line, and that is encouraging, not just to see him play well. There's plenty of room for him and Rob Phinisee, I think, to get ample minutes in games coming up, but it's important to see him play well, especially with Rob Phinisee potentially on the sideline. Who knows how bad the head injury is, the concussion protocol is. It's something you've got to take very serious. You've got to evaluate. But nowadays, it's something that keeps players out of games longer and longer because of the severity of concussion injury. So let's hope it's not much. He hit his head on the knee of a Central Arkansas player, stayed in the game for at least a minute, minute and a half, went to the bench, stayed on the bench, then went to the locker room, and never came out of the locker room following the halftime break. So he's meant so much, Rob has, to this team so far. He's been an inspiration, a lift as a freshman that's come in and probably logged more minutes than a lot of people thought he might at this point. And then obviously he had the big shot on Saturday as IU got a big win over Butler at the Crossroads Classic. So kind of a wait-and-see thing. Coach Miller said in the post-game press conference last night that, quote, planning to be without Phinisee for a while, end quote. That could just be precautionary, especially given the concussion injury that continues to bother and keep Race Thompson out of games and really out of the arena for a lot, out of the gym, out of practice, out of everything with the team for so long now, although he was back on the bench on Wednesday night. So questionable to see what happens. You'd like to think that, you know, it was a collision, a little sore, but he'll get better. You just don't know with concussions. It's a scary word now when you go through that protocol. And again, you're seeing athletes, professional, college, high school, middle school, etc., sit out much longer than they ever had in the past for head injuries and concussion-related symptoms because they are that serious. So that's the big concern coming out of the game. The other positive, Romeo Langford, pretty quiet for the most part, especially in the first half, 8 points in the first half, totaled 18 in the game. He had 10 rebounds, a double-double, and it was done pretty quietly by Romeo Langford. 5 assists and 2 blocks to go with his 18 and 10 as well. So obviously Romeo playing very well in a somewhat quiet fashion. It's not always the outlandish shots or dunks that maybe make you feel like he's had such a terrific game like he does many times or did in high school, but very solid performances for this Indiana team. Jacksonville, the final non-conference game of the season for Indiana, and then, of course, Big Ten starts on January 3rd, and plenty of time to talk about that. But, man, I'm excited about the Big Ten Conference for this season and seeing not just Indiana, but all the teams back in Big Ten action for the heart of the schedule starting in early January. Headline number two today, the IU women's basketball team at the Puerto Rico Classic. They opened a 3-game deal with a 67-43 win over Loyola Marymount. Grace Berger a freshman from Louisville, has a lot of connections right here to Southern Indiana. She had a career-high 15 points, and the IU women are still going strong. A quick recap of the IU football class, 19 in the early signing period, 4 four-star prospects, Samson James, Tawan Mullen, Bo Robbins, Cameron Williams. Then, of course, quarterback Jack Tuttle, a Utah transfer who was a big-time prospect in the class of 2018. He was a 4-star prospect coming out of high school. And a 5-star prospect long snapper, Sean Ratcher, as well. So a solid class, it appears, for Tom Allen for this early signing period. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That's our first segment as well. Stay with us. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is coming up next. We'll recap the Wednesday night game. We'll take a look at the top performers, and then we've got the Southern Indiana basketball update later in the program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we are back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest as he is each week, presented by CC Power Sports. They have locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome. And, of course, racers, welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, thanks for being with us. To recap the game last night, an 86-53 win for the Hoosiers over Central Arkansas. And I tell you what, early on, it looked like it might be another tough one for Indiana. We've seen a couple battles against lower-level Division I teams that the Hoosiers have gotten themselves in. It started off that way, although the Hoosiers came roaring back to take command later in the first half.
Yeah, it was, Indiana gave up 19 points, I think, in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game, and you kind of wondered if it was going to be another situation like the UC Davis or the UT Arlington games that we saw in late November, where Indiana kind of just let a inferior team hang around. But, after it was 19-19, Indiana buckled down defensively and continued to score. And they had 2 pretty big runs in the game. The bigger one was in the second half, a 22-0 run. And they got, plenty of good individual performances. Obviously, Romeo Langford and Devontae Green are the two names that kind of stick out when you look at the box score. But overall, I think it was a good, solid effort from Indiana. They had some problems early on with turnovers, but corrected those, didn't commit a turnover. I think it was the last 14 minutes of the first half, which is very encouraging. And overall, just, good for Indiana, I think, to get kind of a breather of a game after playing all these close games over here the last couple weeks. To have a 33-point win, I think, and get some of the guys who are kind of on the fringe of the rotation some minutes, I think overall it's got to be looked at as a positive.
Other than maybe a slow start, I think the only real negative you can chalk up for the evening is a concern about Rob Fennessy. He went down in the first half in the corner of the floor, hit another player's knee, I believe, with his head, stayed in the game for a while, then was taken out and eventually taken back to the locker room. Archie Miller saying after the game that he's in concussion protocol. And I think Hoosier fans, and I guess really society today, uneasy when you hear concussion and concussion protocol, because number one, there's such a serious injury, or can be such a serious injury nowadays, now that the medical professionals know a lot more about them and their causes and long-term effects than maybe what we did some years ago. And the second reason I think IU fans, Hoosier fans, a little uneasy when you hear those words and Rob Fennessy is, he's such a key, or has been such a key to this team. Then you think about Race Thompson. Concussion protocol is constantly a phrase used to describe his injury, and he's been out not just for a couple games, but for a bulk of the season.
Yeah, hopefully this situation is not anywhere nearly as serious as what Race Thompson's been going through. Quick update on him. He was actually at the game tonight, sat on the bench, so that was good. I think positive thing in terms of his situation. But with Rob Dennessy, it was interesting. You know, I noticed that he went down in the first half and kind of was behind the play there and kind of like almost looked like he was a little bit dazed when he got up. And then, as you mentioned, Matt, he stayed in the game for, I think, until the next dead ball, which is like a minute later. And he went back to the locker room briefly and then came back to the bench and kind of sat there for the rest of the first half with, you know, a towel around his neck. A couple times he put the towel over his head, and almost kind of my vantage point of the bench is pretty good from kind of where I sit. And you could just kind of tell that maybe he wasn't feeling great after taking that hit. And so the team went back in the locker room for halftime, and then he didn't come back out for the second half. So hopefully just a precautionary thing. Obviously, Archie Miller, as you mentioned, mentioned that he'll have to clear concussion protocol. And, you know, Indiana, if they don't have him available this weekend, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal given the fact that they're going to be playing Jacksonville. But they've got 15 days now, or actually 2 weeks exactly, until the game against Illinois, the Big Ten opener. So hopefully they'll be able to have him back in time for that. But always a scary situation. You never want to see anybody go down with any type of injury. But when you're talking about something like a concussion or even concussion-like symptoms or a hit to the head, you want to be extra cautious. And I think given the opponent and everything and the fact that he just didn't seem to be feeling right, you know, Indiana did the right thing by holding him out, and they're going to keep a close eye on him here over the next couple of days. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what his status is moving forward. But Archie Miller did say in the post game that Indiana was moving on as if they could be without him for a while. So hopefully it's not anything that extends into the Big Ten portion of the schedule that's coming up here before we know it.
Alex Bogic is with us, presented by CC Power Sports. Just when you think that this team is getting close to being reasonably healthy, and I say reasonably healthy because you've still got Race Thompson out. You mentioned he was at the game last night. And then, of course, you have Jerome Hunter that it appears may be out for some time. But still reasonably healthy, I think, is a way to describe the Hoosiers. Fennessy goes down, and I know a lot of people, as you mentioned, have their fingers crossed that it's not a bad concussion, that it's not a long-term injury that requires him to sit out. Because, to be frank, the big shot that he hit against Butler, I know that was huge for the team and a huge win in the non-conference and brought a lot of excitement and notoriety to the team with that shot. But he's meant a lot more than just that one play to Indiana, which is why he's so valuable, and I think everybody really concerned after the injury yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, had his moments offensively. Obviously, he's made a lot of big shots, but he's had a lot of games kind of where he didn't do a whole lot offensively in terms of scoring. But he's been a pretty good facilitator, I feel like, for a freshman point guard. And I think what he's brought defensively at different points in the season has been a lot to this team. You know, I will say one positive that did come out of Wednesday in terms of just the playing time was that Devontae Green got a chance to maybe play a little bit more than he has been lately, and he had a really good game, 6 of 10 on threes, and he's going to be a guy, obviously, that Indiana's going to lean on a lot here as the season continues on, and a guy that they really needed to get going. So hopefully, you know, Tennessee's not going to be a long-term situation, and if they can get Devontae Green going, have him playing well, and also have Rob out available, I think it gives Indiana's depth a major boost. And so it was, you know, just an unfortunate situation for, you know, I know, Matt, you and I have followed Rob Fennessy going back to, you know, his sophomore year at McCutchen when they played New Albany in the state championship. And he's just a really gritty, hard-nosed player who knows how to play and make winning plays. And he's definitely important. Part of Indiana's team, and they're going to need him moving forward. So you just hope that it's not a long-term thing with him.
Alex, let's talk about some of the positives from the victory tonight. You mentioned Devontae Green, 19 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, and he was 6 of 10 from the three-point line, as you mentioned as well. That's the Devontae Green that I think a lot of us expected to see maybe a lot earlier this season than what we have. He really provided some flashes and some spark for this team at times last year. Tonight he did that, but he also was very consistent with it.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he didn't have any hesitation when he was open. He took the shots, and he, for the most part, I don't have the box score right in front of me, but I think did a pretty good job of taking care of the ball and making good decisions. And he's a guy that, you know, he can – we saw it earlier in the season in the Penn State game when they weren't scoring early, and all of a sudden he bangs in two threes and they're right back in the game. So it gives them kind of a different look when he's on and playing well, because he's not really your traditional point guard who sets other people up necessarily, but he can get that three-point game going. He can get the mid-range shot going, and he had everything going on Wednesday night with his offensive game and, as you mentioned, kind of stuffed the stat sheet in some other ways as well. And I think more than anything else, you know, he's a guy that really prides himself playing solid defense. Even when he's not making shots, I feel like he has a pretty good feel on that end of the court. He's been a big part of Indiana's strong start to the season defensively. So Devontae Green, I think, he obviously missed some time earlier in the season, and that kind of made Rob Phinisee the definitive starter at the point guard position. But some people forget that, going into the season, he was a guy that I think most of us thought was going to be the starting point guard, and he's definitely talented enough to have an increased role as the season moves along. And I think fans have to look at, hopefully this was a game that maybe he could springboard and kind of get on a roll here as the season moves along and the competition level picks up here in a couple of weeks.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, our guest. This segment each Thursday on the show is presented by CC Power Sports. Romeo Langford, a quiet, workmanlike effort, but he had 18 points and 11 rebounds, a double-double. I'm sure some people say quiet effort, double-double, second of his career, second of the season for him at Indiana. I swear, and I watched the game on television tonight, and at halftime he had 8 points. Second half he had some spurts where he rarely was able to add to that total. But unless he does something spectacular, a great move to the basket, has a dunk or a big three in a key moment in a tight game, I've never seen a guy so quietly amass points and statistics as what he does. And I guess even though I've seen him play probably more games in his career overall than not, going all the way back to high school and even middle school and some of his summer ball stuff, I can't get over how quietly he can pack the stat sheet in some games.
Yeah, I mean, he still's obviously struggling with his perimeter shot, but he's not really letting that affect his overall offensive outputs. As you mentioned, 18 points. He gets 11 rebounds. That was his second career double-double. I think he had a fair amount of assists, a couple block shots as well. So overall, just in terms of a statistical standpoint, one of his better games yet as a college player. And, I think the thing that continues to impress me is that even though some teams are kind of backing off and maybe giving him a little space on the perimeter because they know he's not making shots, he's still able to find, driving lanes and ways to get to the basket. I saw it a lot in high school, how good of a passer he was. But now that he's kind of surrounded by, other guys who are capable of making plays on a consistent basis, and he's not being counted on to go score 30 or 35 points a night, I think it's showing even more just how good of a passer he is. I mean, he had a pass, I think it was in the first half, where he ran a pick and roll with Juwan Morgan and found him kind of cutting down the lane for a bucket. It was just like a really tight quarter and really great awareness of him to see that seam and throw that pass. And so I think, as teams continue to try to figure out ways to slow Romeo down, that's one thing that he has in his arsenal, is the ability to facilitate for others and make plays. I mean, everyone, I think, is obviously fixated on how many points he scores on a given night just because of, that's what he did in high school. And we look at the fact that he's the fourth all-time leading scorer in Indiana high school basketball and think, well, should he be getting 25 or 30 in certain games, but I think he's making his impact felt in other ways besides just scoring, rebounding the ball at a high level tonight on Wednesday's game, and then also just kind of acting as a facilitator and not forcing anything. I think that kind of speaks to just how good of an overall player he is. He always lets things come to him, and he's always going to make the right basketball play. And I think that speaks highly of just kind of his basketball IQ and how he approaches the game.
We're joined by Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports, talking about Indiana's 86-53 win over Central Arkansas, their second-to-last non-conference game of the 2018-19 schedule. Juwan Morgan, 10 points, very efficient once again tonight. He was 5 of 6 from shooting, 0 of 1, I should say, from the three-point line, missed his one free throw as well, pulled down 5 rebounds and had 4 assists. I know it was just Central Arkansas, but the win was sizable for the Hoosiers, and really they do it with Juwan Morgan doing, I don't want to say minimal work, but not having the performances that he's had in other games recently. Other people stepping up. Juwan Morgan still a big part of what happened tonight by facilitating the ball, by leading the way, and being efficient with his own scoring as well.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing we've talked about with all three guys, Devontae, Romeo, and now Juwan, is, you know, all of them had a pretty good night in terms of assists. I think Indiana had 36 made field goals in the game. They had 24 assists. That's a really strong number. That shows that they were really sharing the ball, and guys were just, you know, willing to make the extra pass and set up a teammate. And Juwan is going to carry a heavy load when he needs to, but he's also going to have his nights like he did on Wednesday, where he just kind of, does maybe some of his work in the post and gets easy baskets, but he doesn't have to, you know, shoot 14 or 15 times a game to make his impact felt. And it was a game where Devontae Green was hitting threes and wanted to get the ball to him, obviously get Romeo going, Justin Smith, another guy who played really well in this game offensively. And so, Juwan is never going to be a guy who forces the issue. He's going to always let the game come to him, pick his spots. He's very cerebral in his approach. And, I thought overall he didn't stand out in the box score with his final stats, but I thought he played just another terrific game coming off the Butler win.
CC Power Sports brings us Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. You can read a lot more about last night's game at InsideTheHall.com, and you can follow Alex at Inside the Hall on Twitter as well. A number of bench players getting some minutes, even some that we have not seen in recent games because of how close and competitive things have been. But I thought there was a nice stretch there. I know the game was out of hand basically by this point, but a nice stretch for Jake Forrester. I think he had back-to-back baskets and was able to log 7, 8, 9 minutes in the game last night. And he's one of those players, along with Clifton Moore, Demezi Anderson, and there's some others as well that people want to see more of and see what they can do to help this team down the road in conference play, and can they find a way to log minutes on a consistent basis. So good to see those guys get a little bit of time. Let's hope that they get as much or more Saturday as well in the final non-conference game.
Yeah, Forrester had, I think, 8 points, a pretty good run there right when he first got in, and just getting some easy opportunities at the bucket and getting himself going. Clifton Moore had a really nice finish with style. I think he missed the free throw, but another example of his, he has a pretty good touch around the rim. Demezi Anderson, just a kind of a so-so night for him. But the fact that all those guys were able to get in and get some minutes, I think, is a positive thing for them. And after the game was over, I asked Devontae Green kind of, Demezi, Jake, and Clifton Moore, they're all three guys who maybe aren't getting the minutes that they'd like to, but kind of how do you as a veteran player keep them engaged? And he basically just said, he tells them to keep working, and it's a grind, and you got to keep at it, and hopefully your time will come. And Jake Forrester was sitting right next to him, kind of just shaking his nodding his head. So I think those guys kind of realize the situation that they're in. They know that, you know, this is a team that, you know, it's competitive for minutes, and the rotation for the most part these last couple weeks has been pretty well set in stone. But they also have to realize that, you know, with injuries, there's always an opportunity or just guys maybe not playing as well as you saw earlier. Early in the game on Wednesday, you know, Al Durham had a couple, you know, poor plays early in the game, and he was yanked pretty quickly, and Devontae Green got his chance, and, you know, those other guys have to be ready when their number's called. I mean, we saw a perfect example of that earlier in the season with Clifton Moore up at Penn State had his chance to play and made an impact in that game, and those guys hopefully, as you said, will get some time on Saturday, because after that, I have a feeling that every game is going to be competitive once Big Ten play resumes, and those opportunities may be few and far between. But it was an important game on Wednesday, obviously, to get them an opportunity to get back out there and kind of get them some confidence and have them show what they can do, and hopefully something that you know, those guys can use to improve and get better at moving forward.
Alex, speaking of Saturday in the Jacksonville game, how does Jacksonville compare to the opponent last night in some of the computer rankings? And should it be a game similar? Are they a little better? What do you expect on Saturday?
Yeah, they're ranked a little bit lower than Central Arkansas. I think they're ahead of the first two opponents this season, like Montana State and Chicago State were the two worst, at least in the KenPom ratings. But I expect it to be another game where Indiana wins relatively handily. That's why I would be shocked if, you know, if they try to rush things back with Rob Finnessy, even if he's able to go. You know, I think you kind of err on the side of caution, and you know, hopefully it's another game where you can kind of get a lead and get some of these young guys minutes. And you know, the thing that's really, I know they have this big break coming up, but you look at the minutes that some of these guys have been playing just based on all these close games lately. You hope that, you know, they can, you know, get the starters some rest in that game Saturday and then have that nice break and come kind of maybe rest up, get healthy, and be ready for the grind that's going to be here come January 3rd. And I know that everyone's kind of looking ahead to that Michigan game on Sunday and maybe looking a little bit past the Illinois game. But, you know, every game in the Big Ten schedule this year, I feel like is going to be competitive and going to be a tough battle. So anything Indiana can do to kind of get its legs back and get refreshed a little bit as that portion of the schedule gets closer, I think it'll be a positive. So Jacksonville is, As I mentioned, they're not probably as good as Central Arkansas, so it should be another opportunity for a comfortable win.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. And I was going to do just that, skip ahead to the Michigan game for just a second. As I look at the Big Ten schedule, every game, as we know, especially with what we've seen in the non-conference from other Big Ten teams, it's just going to be terrific, I think, as far as the each and every night. There's no easy game. Every team has a player. Every team has been competitive at times. I mean, there's a couple at the bottom, obviously, that'll be easier than others, but the bulk of the Big Ten is going to be really strong, I think, this year. But not to look past Illinois at all. That's a tough game to open up at home, a very, very important game to open up or reopen up the Big Ten's part of the schedule at home for Indiana. But I can't lie. I'm looking forward to IU at Michigan. I think that will be maybe the first indication of conference play as to what this Indiana team is prepared for, at least for the first couple weeks of conference season. I think Michigan is really good. It's a tough place to play. It's a great coach in Coach Beilein. Just looking forward, I mean, to every game and to the Big Ten Conference. I could watch Big Ten ball every night, even if Indiana's not playing. That's how much I like the conference and how strong I think it is this year. But I really am looking forward to that game at Michigan. I think most fans probably are.
Yeah, I mean, that stretch that they have in January, you know, I talked about this on our podcast earlier in the week with Jared Morris. We were looking kind of ahead of the schedule. You know, I think it's something like Michigan on the road at Maryland. They come home to play Nebraska, then they go to Purdue, and then they go to Northwestern. So it's like 4 out of 5 games are on the road. That could be a really brutal stretch in terms of a win, wins and loss perspective. And, you know, I know the Indiana fans want to win every game, but that could kind of be a stretch that where Indiana just needs to keep its head above water, because I know things get a little bit easier in February, and maybe that will be the time when this team will start to kind of hit its stride. But January is going to be a really tough month. It starts out really tough, having to go to Michigan. Indiana went up there last year and just got – I went up to that game last year and they just got blitz from the beginning. Michigan's going to be a team that's going to be looking – assuming that both are still unbeaten in league play at that point, going to be looking to kind of make a statement on in terms of where they are in the conference hierarchy. It's a home game for them. So it's going to be a really hard game. They're a great defensive team. As you mentioned, they got a great coach in John Beilein. So, I can't lie. I'm looking forward to that one as well. It's a game I'm going to go up to and cover. It's a fun place to watch a game. The atmosphere is a little bit sterile at times, depending on just kind of what kind of team Michigan has. But the fact that they're ranked in the top 5 right now, I would expect to a really good crowd up for that game, and it'll be Indiana. Hopefully, some of the earlier season experiences that they've had away from home and, you know, playing those tough road games will be able to pay some dividends. But that's kind of a game I think everyone's got circled on the calendar as the next game that we may learn something about this team.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall with us Thursdays here on the Hoosier Report, this segment presented by CC Power Sports. You can stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. CC Power Sports brings us Alex Bozich each Thursday here on the show. Alex, thanks so much for the chat, the rundown on the game last night, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Take care.
All right. Alex Bozich with us as we get things rolling here on this Thursday edition of the program. Hard to believe we are almost through IU's 2018 portion of their schedule. One more non-conference game coming up Saturday against Jacksonville, and then it's Big Ten Conference play. And as Alex and I are talking about that Michigan game, Illinois at home, at Michigan, at Maryland, Nebraska at home, at Purdue, at Northwestern. And what do you get after that tough stretch of some road games? Michigan at home on January 25th. So quite a start to the Big Ten Conference. The Hoosiers with Michigan twice in about 3.5 weeks to open Big Ten Conference play. Going to be a lot of fun to follow and see how this team does. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back. It's time for the Southern Indiana Basketball Update, a weekly fast-paced review of high school hoops in Clark and Floyd counties. We'll give you all the top performers from the past 7 days or so of high school basketball. We'll take a look at the schedule of all the big games, including some holiday tournaments this week that get started as well. We'll have a player of the week, a game of the week, and a lot more coming your way next on this Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back with you on this Thursday program, final segment on Thursdays. We always have our Southern Indiana basketball update. It's a weekly fast-paced review of high school basketball in Clark and Floyd counties. Each Thursday in the show, a lot of information jam-packed here in this segment, so a lot of high school hoops talk coming up. First, we want to start with this past weekend, and we've talked about this previously on the show, but New Albany, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central, they all lost on Saturday. That's not something that happens very often, the local 4A powers losing all in the same night. In fact, the last time that happened, back on February 8th of 2014, the 2013-14 season here locally. So Floyd Central, a tough one Saturday night. They lost at Bloomington South, who's getting better, even though the season is still young. New Albany taking on at home Carmel, who will likely, I think, be an opportunity again to return to the 4A state championship game, coming out of the northern side of the state as they work their way through that side of things. And then Jeffersonville, they had a huge win on Friday, came back a little let down against a very good 2A team, Southwestern of Hanover, not your typical 2A basketball team this season. They play a different defensive scheme, very tough place to play, lots of talent on that team, and Jeffersonville fell asleep a little bit early, and Southwestern able to get a big win over the 4A Devils. But the last time that happened, back the 2013-14 season, definitely not something you see very often, and I'm thinking that we probably won't see it again this season. All three teams with some talent. Floyd Central obviously has done really well to start the year. New Albany and Jeff a little work cut out, but all three of those teams very interesting to follow this year. Let's take a look at the top performers over the last 7 days or so of high school basketball. We always like to highlight some of the big performances and scoring performances across the area that you may not hear their names or their schools typically on the program. But 22 points was the top performer over the last week. That belongs to Cortland Black of Charlestown. He put in 22 points on Saturday as the Pirates got past Providence in a very close game at Charlestown. 20 points from Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville Saturday in the loss at Southwestern Hanover for the Red Devils. It was a big weekend for Coleman. He had a solid 10 points against Silver Creek on Friday night, despite picking up three fouls in the first period of that game on Friday night. Still was able to turn in a solid performance as the Devils get a win on Friday and an even bigger performance on Saturday as Jeffersonville falls on the road. For the first time this season, Julian Hunter of New Albany, the junior, he reaches our top performers this week. He had 19 points last Friday as New Albany had three big scores in their rout of Seymour last week. 18 points, a lot of 18-point performances over the last week. Kobe Barnes of Floyd Central, he put an 18-point Saturday as Floyd Central lost in a bit of a surprising game at Bloomington South on the road. Also, Jake Heidbreeder of Floyd Central in the big win for Floyd Central Friday. They took on Providence. Heidbreeder had 18 points in that contest. Jacob Jones had 18 points as well. The Jeffersonville Red Devil led the way in many ways for the Devils on Friday in a big win at Silver Creek. Derek Stevenson on Friday, he had 18 at Seymour. Chris Johnson, his teammate, matched him as well. He had 18 Friday in New Albany's big win at Seymour. 18 points for Zane Gross of Silver Creek. Those came Saturday as the Dragons bounced back after their Friday night loss to Jeffersonville, defeating Bedford North Lawrence on Saturday. Gross again, 18 points. Jesus Diaz of New Washington, he continues to put up some big points for the Mustangs. They're not having a great season, just one or two wins so far for New Wash, but he had 18 points this week Tuesday against Eastern Pekin. Also of New Washington, Bo Giltner, he had 18 points Saturday against Crothersville. Let's take a look at the schedule for this week. It's the holiday times, which means this week and next week, before Christmas and after Christmas, a number of holiday basketball tournaments taking place across the state, really across the country, all types of high school basketball over the holiday time. Thursday, later today, Providence gets started down at the Hancock County Kentucky tournament. They'll play there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Likewise, Christian Academy of Indiana, they play West Washington later today to start the Scott County Invitational, and they will play three games in that tournament as well. A lot of games on Friday, light schedule on Saturday. The big one Friday is New Albany at Indianapolis Pike. We'll talk more about that game in just a moment. Southridge at Jeffersonville, and I want to talk about that game for just a second. Jeffersonville has had a really tough schedule the last few weeks. They haven't played a 4A team, but 3A Silver Creek, we know they're at the top of things. They played them and were able to win last Friday. Then they go to a very good Southwestern of Hanover team on Saturday. They lose in a somewhat surprising margin. Southwestern able to hand Jeffersonville a sizable loss and prove that they are for real in 2A basketball. And now the Red Devils have Southridge, a 3A school, coming to Jeffersonville on Friday. That's another tough game for the Red Devils. Southridge is very strong. This is a very senior-laden team. They've looked forward to this season for a number of years and trying to make a postseason run in 3A basketball themselves. So another tough opponent for Jeffersonville on Saturday. Southridge will be at William S. Johnson Arena. Also, Henryville in action on Friday. They'll open against Southwestern of Hanover, who we've bragged about a lot here this segment. That's at the Jefferson County Invitational. Henryville will play a number of games there over the next two or three days. Also, a regular season game, Louisville Holy Cross is at Rock Creek on Friday. Shaw Memorial is at Borden on Friday, and Jacksonville at New Washington on Friday as well. Our game of the week, Friday night, New Albany at Indianapolis Pike. Indianapolis Pike beat Center Grove and 2019 IU signee Trace Jackson Davis by 40-something points just a few weeks ago. Big win from Pike. They've been very streaky. They've won some games. They've lost some games. They've beat some people that you might think on paper they shouldn't. They've lost to people on paper you might think that they shouldn't as well. What team will New Albany draw when they make the trip up to Indianapolis Pike on Friday? We'll see, but it's a big game for New Albany. Losses recently against Floyd Central, their rival, lost last Saturday against a very good Carmel team. It's a bounce-back opportunity for New Albany against a solid Pike team and a very tough place to play on the road. We'll see what the Bulldogs can do. We'll have that game live Friday night here on the Big X Sports Radio. But New Albany at Indianapolis Pike, that is our game of the week this week on the Big X Sports Radio and our Southern Indiana basketball update. Each week we have a player of the week. Wanted to kind of look at somebody new maybe this week. Kobe Barnes has won the award a number of weeks. He was probably as good as anyone to win it again this week with some solid performances for Floyd Central. But we're going to go with a Jeffersonville player, and we're going to go with junior Jacob Jones. And the reason I'm going to say this is because Jacob Jones, with 18 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds last Friday night at Silver Creek, was the straw that stirred the drink for the Red Devils in their big win on the road at Silver Creek. I told a lot of people I thought Silver Creek would be able to win that game. The Red Devils surprised me, and it was in large part thanks to the performance of Jacob Jones. I think he's so important for this Jeffersonville team. As he goes, the Red Devils go. Lots of weapons, lots of athletes on the Jeff team, but Jones will have the ball in his hand a lot. He can drive to the basket. The defense will collapse on him, and leaving someone else, whether it's Trey Coleman or another Red Devil, open to make the shot. He's going to be a real key for Joe Luce's team this year, with 18 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and a big win at Silver Creek on Friday. Jacob Jones is our player of the week here on the Hoosier Report. Big holiday basketball time. I mentioned a number of tournaments going on. Providence at Hancock County down in Kentucky. The Red Devils of Jeff won that tournament a year ago. You've got the Scott County Invitational. You've got the Jefferson County Tournament going on as well. Many other events. Don't forget Silver Creek. That holiday tournament takes place after Christmas. It's the longest running tournament in the state of Indiana with the same four teams. Providence, Clarksville, Charlestown, Silver Creek, obviously a great field. Silver Creek will be the front runner by far in that event. But a great time of year. Some really good tournaments going on. An opportunity to get out. Maybe you're home for the holidays. You've heard about some of the great performers or heard about some of the great teams this season. Haven't had a chance to get out and see them. Your opportunity to do so may be coming up over the holidays as well. I want to give this a plug real quick, and I know this doesn't have anything to do with high school basketball in Southern Indiana, but if you get an opportunity, one of my all-time favorite holiday traditions, the King of the Bluegrass Holiday Classic at Fairdale High School across the river in Louisville. It's a great mix of local talent from the 6th, 7th, and 8th regions right across the river. You get some of the best teams from out in the state of Kentucky as well, and there are four teams from out of the area also with some good players, some really solid teams. Great environment. It's almost like it should be here in Southern Indiana. It's a very special event. And if the rules were a little different, we've talked about this a lot of different holiday times here on the show. If the rules were a little different, it would be great to see some big-time tournament environments like this in Southern Indiana, in Indianapolis. We still get some holiday tournaments, but nothing where you can get the out-of-state teams in and create something really special, bringing in good players and good teams from across the country. So if you get time, head to Fairdale. Action started last night on Wednesday. It continues through Saturday. Lots of fun. great day of basketball. You could often catch four games. Sometime they've got, depending on the day you go, four games in the main gym, four games in the auxiliary gym. But Lloyd Gardner, Fairdale, former coach, great guy, normally comes on the program to promote the tournament. We didn't have time to do it this year, but you want to get out to Fairdale if you can. If you want to get away from high school basketball in the area, maybe there's not a lot of games coming up on Saturday. It does seem to be a little bit of a slower day. Maybe take in the final day of the King of the Bluegrass on that day as well. Also, don't forget, once we get through all this holiday time and some of these holiday tournaments that are coming up, we've got New Albany and Jeffersonville on that first Friday that the kids are back in school. What is that, January 5th maybe? It's coming up before you know it, and it's a big one. And I think this year that game will be extremely competitive. Two teams, and that win will mean a lot for whichever team can come out of that game in the regular season with a victory. So as soon as the holidays end, we get right into New Albany and Jeff. Our player of the week, once again, Jacob Jones, the Jeffersonville Junior. Our game of the week, New Albany at Indianapolis Pike. If you're busy with holiday activities and parties and you can't make it to Indianapolis and you're a Bulldog fan, we'll have the play-by-play call of that game Friday, beginning a little bit after 7 o'clock with the pregame show right here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Don't forget, we do this each weekday at 11 o'clock. You can catch the replay at 3 p.m. We're available on SoundCloud as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts as well for SoundCloud. You can download the app or point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Apple Podcasts, just search the Hoosier Report. Please leave us a rating or review. It'll help us reach others on Apple Podcasts that might be interested in a program similar to ours. Have a great Thursday. We'll be back with you on Friday as well. A lot more coming your way. Hoosiers play again on Saturday as well. Don't forget, final non-conference game of the season. We'll have that call right here with Don Fisher on the Big X as well. Have a great Thursday. I'm back tomorrow to wrap the week up with you right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.